Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 292, part 2, the conclusion to worry. Today is Pentecost Sunday, our anniversary, May 19th, 2013. It all started May 23rd, 2007, Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
And so worry is a sin. It burdens everyone around us. Nail-biting, fit-throwing worry. And why do people get into fit-throwing? They are worried about something. Maybe they're worried about a decision they made for their life and they don't know how to turn the thing off. Oh, I have decided to follow Jesus, they sing, and then they get into a ministry, and then they're worried about that decision they made because it entails too much pressure, too much of their life, and really, is this what I really want in my life? Or do I only want part of this in my life? And so you see, worry is definitely sin. And so enemies of us then is worry, isn't it? Definitely our enemy. We should not tolerate it. The mental wards are full of worriers. I think a lot of those mental wards are churches. You don't have to go to a building that says, insane ward. Just go on outside. You tailgate a little bit and pull up on the ramp, somebody shoots at you. Huh? So people are running around now, and it says in California that the drivers are becoming more polite. Why are they becoming more polite? They are worried that they might get shot. I'd venture to say there's going to be a lot of accidents while people are busy being nice, smiling at each other. Huh? Yeah, really. They'll get so cautious that they'll cause accidents. Are you hearing this? Over-cautious. Worriers. You ever been around somebody that's very cautious? That they're going to make the right move? Then the thing moves by them because they can't make a decision in their life. And so it's sin. Kick it out of your life. No, there's a few popular ways on how to get rid of worry, and they write books on this. Well, I'll quit worrying is one of them. By getting into an ideal situation, and they say your situation's causing you to worry. You need to do this or do that. Be rid of that obstacle in your life. You need to get into an ideal situation. That's always a failure. Because you see, there is no ideal situation for the worrier. What is an ideal situation for you, worrier listening on the radio? There is no ideal situation. Neither has there ever been one found. Well, a guy called me, a friend of mine, and he says, you know, this idea I have can't fail. But I knew him to be a what-if person. He said, it's 1,000 to 1 in my favor. Why should I worry? Well, I said, you just asked a question. I don't know, but you'll find a reason for worrying. That 1 in 1,000. Nothing is ever quite for sure with you, guy. Why don't you come to the Lord and then you'll know for sure where you're going to go at least. And you know, if there were an ideal situation, they wouldn't recognize it if it slapped them right in the face. And of course, if they did recognize it, they wouldn't get into it. They'd be worried about getting into it. And if there were an ideal situation and they were fortunate enough to get into it, they'd mess it up. They'd get into it and then they'd worry about it and lose it. And so then a worrier that's worth his weight in worry never carries through. Never finishes anything. Excited in the beginning, slowing down in the middle, total stop somewhere in between there and death. See, that would set them free. Hallelujah. They would just trust in the Lord and don't be afraid of the word failure. Oh, we can't fail. You do fail. You fail every day. The only one that has never failed is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll never fail you. You can't fail. Oh, but you shouldn't teach people these words. These are words of negative words where they're failing all the time. A lot of people out there, let me tell you, they are mentals. They can't admit that they've failed, so they just go around trying to cover the thing up. Some of them even walk around with clenched fists and say, I'll never worry about that again. Never. As long as I mark it down. This is the last time I'm going to worry about them kids. This is the last time I'm going to worry about my job or my car or where I'm going to get the next meal. Mark it down. I refuse to worry. You know, I feel so silly about worrying about that. No way. Do you hear me? I'm not going to. Who are you trying to convince, me or yourself? I mean, I just believe the promises, right, Pastor? Believe the promise. Stand on the promise. I heard your tape. Stand on the promise. And I'm standing on the promise. I mean, God said it. That settles it. And that's right. And a lot of these people that are these come out of faith teachings, they yell so loud on all these promises and everything. And you know what? They're trying to convince themselves. They're so afraid of failure. And they're so afraid of looking silly. And they're so afraid of saying, I didn't make it. They compound their worries. Oh, what's that song they say, trust and obey? Do you know that song, Trust and Obey? I'm sure you all know that. Trust and obey, trust and obey. There is no other way. Hey, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have trials. You will be hated. Oh, you don't want to hear this, do you? Oh, but it's the truth. Radio audience, you don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. You will have tribulation. You will have trial. You'll be hated in the house of your friends. Mother against daughter. Father against son. We don't want to hear those things, do we? But they're from the very mouth of Jesus Christ. Work it out. Hallelujah. Work it out. Well, we don't want to hear that word, though. Work it out. We want to faith it out. Well, faith without works is dead. Did you know that? Sometimes it's just work for people to sit. Work for them to sit and listen to a total message over the radio. Because they're worried about something, and they're worried about this, or they're worried about that, or they're worried about something. Wouldn't that be nice if everybody went to the restroom before they came? So they wouldn't have to waddle out, bang the doors, and go downstairs, and go to the restroom, come back up, and you know. Wouldn't that be nice if people would think ahead a little bit? But we don't want to worry about that. Well, you better worry about it. Say amen. Oh, preachers, you're glad I said that, aren't you? And for the most part, I'm ministering. A lot of this is going right out to the radio audience and people on tapes. All over. I hope you all hear it out there, way out there in the world. It's just like when you get down here in the ghettos, it's like you're talking to the outside world. Now, I knew a lot of people before I got in here. Now I'm Paul who? But I can't let that worry me. Say amen, somebody. See, it's not your reputation. Jesus was a man of no reputation. Oh, my God, what character? Are you hearing this? But you know, in a short time, no amount of talking could convince them not to worry. You can tell them not to worry, not to worry, not to worry. And these same people that sing trust and obey, stand on the promises, right? Go by faith, right? Now, you're not born with worry, folks. It's something that you take on. As babies, you caused other people to worry every time you cough. What's wrong, baby? What's wrong? Oh, pick the baby up. Slap him on the back. Some people just go crazy because baby coughs. No, we weren't born that way, were we? Were you born a good football player, a basketball player, a writer, or a singer? No, it came by practice. Were you born to be a pilot? No, you had to practice. You made a decision to go across the street from the pet hospital over there and take a look at an airplane and dared to dream and dared to get into the thing and dared to fly and dared to take me up. How daring you are. And dared to let me fly it. And so, likewise, a good worrier has practiced and practiced and practiced because worry is an achievement. Are you hearing this? Maybe, well, you just came in. So we're talking about worriers, Mosette. I'm talking about people that worry, just so that you know what I'm talking about here. But anyway, how do we conquer worry? Be on good terms with your conscience, for one thing. We all have the gift of conscience. Well, sometimes it's a tyrant to us. But we all have the gift of conscience. Maybe there's something that you must give up. Or maybe there's something you must give it your all. Make a decision. A lot of times, in my life, I come from a very decisive family. My dad would decide to do something, do it. My mother was the same way. And it kind of rubbed off on me. I will hold back in making decisions that are of real importance. But when I make my move, I make my move. Even if I'm fearful while I'm making it, I make it, and I will stick to that move no matter what. Because I wasn't afraid to think on the morrow. Not worry about it, but just sort it out and think ahead. What are the going to be the results of this decision? What's it going to cost down the line, not only for myself but for others? And is it worth the price? And then go ahead with it. And so maybe there's something you must give it your all. Make a decision. Don't fight it. Obey God or you'll find no peace. See, because if you have a clear conscience, you are clear with the Lord. And that's the only way you can live. Isaiah said, there is no peace unto the wicked. And so we'll never find any peace until we stop fighting with God and our own consciences. And so we have to direct our thinking. Paul said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things that are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things. So you see, you got a lot to think about besides that your miserable self and how you are being treated. God, if I thought all the time on how I'm being treated, I'd never think about nothing else. Hey, for the most part, being down here doing mission work, you get treated very poorly by the spiritual bums. What's a spiritual bum? That's somebody that just, you know, doesn't get involved in anything. They are spiritual, go to Israel, go to every seminar there is in the United States, Canada, Alaska, wherever, go all over. They are spiritual bums with a knapsack on their back looking for a feeding. And they call the bums out there bums. There are spiritual bums that are walking around for a feeding all the time, and they think that's all there is to life is getting fed. And you that are listening on the radio, when you go to your church and you just go there on Sunday to be fed, there's more to the Christian walk than just being fed and walking around licking your chops with a great big bib on. Are you hearing me? There's more to going out to Perkins and sitting around talking about Christianity. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things, folks. It'll give you a whole lot to think about. I'm talking about realism. Stop looking at everything as ugly. That's not real, is it? Is it? Well, I venture to say, when you get down there, Jim, on the hobo bus, there's a lot of things that are pretty ugly. Isn't there? Groups of men running kind of wild, half insane, hardly ever washed, like a wolf pack. And someone comes in and he says the wrong word. Maybe he's got scars all over his nose and a great big lumps on his neck. And he just looks miserable and mean. And he's got that old wino look about him and that great big old, big old nose. Huh? Maybe he's crippled. Maybe he's got a dirty old knapsack on his back. Nobody wants him around, and even the bums sometimes get on his back. Circle him like a wolf. Do you think of him as ugly? No, you don't, because you've been going down there for a few years now. I venture to say that there are people that would get on that bus and look at some of them people and get out. And let me say this word. I think it's a good word. Puke. Well, is it, should I say regurgitate? No, puke. Are you hearing this? It is the time for realistic, down-to-earth preaching. It is time to realize that there's more than just coming in, you listening on the radio, for a feeding. Bib on, knife and fork in hand. Well, what's for lunch? Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Make a decision. Obey God or you'll find no peace. Isn't this realism? How much more realistic can you get? I mean, I hear all kinds of talk out there. Oh, what? Are you sure these people really need your help or God's help or whatever? That is not the point. The point is they are there like a stray dog and they need feeding. We even treat strays better than that. I think we must seek to think white instead of always thinking black. Or keep mixing it up until everything is sort of a pale gray. Also, listen, folks, have faith in God. Oh, it's so wonderful to have fellowship. I'm coming from St. Paul in the morning this morning, and I thought, oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you for this day. Praise you, Lord, for the energy that you've given me to go on with this work down here that I so dearly do love. Praise you, Lord. Have faith in God, I was thinking. He feeds the birds and he clothes the lily. And I thought, he'll do the same for us. And so I thought, learn to rest in the Lord. I think that's a good word for today. Cast your cares upon him. I'm talking about faith rest. I'm not talking about going to sleep on it. That world says that. Oh, I'll sleep on it. Would you help me? Well, let me sleep on it. What are you going to do when you get up? No, faith rest is a faith that's working. And while you're working, you're resting in what you're going to do. You're thinking it out. You're making a decision. In everything, I remember years ago, my sister wrote me this letter. I was a drunk. I mean a drunk. And she would always write me these letters, and I thought, oh, when is she ever going to just say, hi, how are you, instead of all these scriptures. And she wrote, and she came out of alcohol too. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. I think one thing that's important to remember here. Almost every evil is some perverted good. Worry, anxiety, fear are perverted good. I think although we're not to worry, there is an instinct within us to look ahead, to plan. I'm making plans. How many in here have plans? Sure, you have plans. I don't care if it's just planning on getting out of here and going over to Arby's. Look, Mom, I'm at Arby's. Well, it's still a plan, isn't it? And we all look ahead to think about, I believe, meeting possible situations before they come. But not anxiously. That's people, why we're above the animals. They are limited in foreseeing. But we have the capacity to foresee. And so animals stop sort of at dead ends. But man sets goals. I have goals. Man without a vision perishes. See, the capacity to foresee, foreplan, and forestall. It's the power that lifts us up out of the is and into the can be. It is the secret of progress, and it's got to be cultivated. And so we can plan ahead, think ahead, but not anxiously. Let me close it. And so we must master today, we must master also tomorrow by planning for it. And then if it happens, it happens, right? Luke 16 and 8, Jesus commended this. Well, the master praised the disciples, honest factor for looking ahead. You know, and for the children of the world, you know, they look further ahead than Christians do a lot of times. They're more real. See, the lack of intelligent planning, people, and we have to plan down here all the time. Right now we plan, we open up 1,000 bags at a time, we plan that something's going to go in them bags. Did you notice that when we opened up those bags, all of a sudden a granola company called and said, we have, I think it was almost like 250 cases, 25-pound cases of cereal immediately. We plan ahead. We empty out 30,000 pounds of vegetables probably on a Wednesday, and we plan for some on Saturday. We plan ahead. So Christians do plan ahead for a lot of times people that have no plans at all. Think about that. It's called faith. It's called feed my sheep. We're going sometimes in excess of 100,000 pounds a lot of times in just vegetables in a week. A lot of times we can do that when potatoes are coming. And even now we can go like up to 40 or 50,000 pounds, not counting all the bread rolls and cookies, not counting all these extras and muffins and so on, not counting all the grocery bags given away. I'm talking about street ministry. So it's good that someone plans. Oh my God, how we need people that plan. Hallelujah. Have you got plans? Put your plans in the Lord. Are you planning to worry? I'm not talking about being weird. I'm talking about praising and praying and thinking on those things, the Bible says. Think on those things. And so a Christian cannot be a simpleton. He cannot be a worrier, just looking at the moment, too full of worry. Because I believe a fear to face tomorrow is a false fear. You don't even know if you're going to be here. I don't know if I'll be here. I'm headed down the stretch. I have rounded the corner. And here it is. Well, you said that before. Well, I did, but I'm getting there. The Bible says, love God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul. And that's foresight. That's whatsoever situation I am in, whatsoever situation that you may put me in, I'm going to love you. Commit yourself, I've said today. Don't be singing that song, I'll be coming around the mountain when I come. Well, I'll be coming around the mountain when I come. I'll be coming around the mountain when I come. And we have to stand there waiting for you to come around the darn mountain. Get on off of that mountain. Come on down in the valley where the fruit is. Worried about a mountaintop experience all the time. Christians, oh, I had such a mountaintop experience. Oh, glory to God. I was so blessed. How are you? How am I? I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, sorry I ask. Proverbs 29:25. It says, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. And so we, as Christians, care more than anyone else about the past and the present and the future because it gives us drive. It gives us something to be committed to. It gives us direction. It gives us determination. It makes us progressive. Oh, how I believe that. And when I was in business, I was progressive and aggressive and a mover. What do they call them now? A mover and a pusher and a whatever. They got a new terminology now. But it must not make us worry, but to plan. What do you plan to do leaving here today? Do you plan to worry? Some people plan it. I mean, I can see them. They get that fox in the well look. You know what the fox in the well look at? Is that he got that knitted brow, and he's trying to get up out of the well, see, with both hands. And they come running at me like that, and they come running like the fox in the well. They've been that way for 15 or 16 years or 20 years, all the time I've known them, and they got the fox in the well worry look, and you can't run fast enough to get away from them. They will tackle you. How many hearing this? I'm going to close with this little thing here. And it's a story, and you'll like this, Kent, because it's about an aviator of a small airplane. And he was flying around the world, and he was 2 hours out, and he heard this gnawing and scratching. And it dawned on him that there's a rat in this airplane. And so he became fearful, and he thought, well, 2 hours back and 2 hours to the next stop. I'm almost at the point of no return. And then he remembered that a rat was a rodent, and a rodent was down on the ground. He didn't like the heights, but he liked the sewer, so he started to climb. He went 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 20,000 feet. You know what? The gnawing stopped. You know, when he landed that airplane, there was a dead rodent in it, a dead rat in the cockpit. Because worry is a rat. And it cannot live in the secret places of the Most High God. Don't let worry make a rat out of you and keep you in sewer living. Worry not, for I am with you always. And here's something in the original Greek for all of the legalists. I will never leave you. No, never, no, never. Three times. No, never, no, never, no, never will I ever leave you or forsake you. I didn't say that. God did. Jesus Christ said that. What a wonderful thing to have that in the back of your mind all the time, that Jesus is never going to leave me. Never. What a wonderful thing to know that God is all love, and love covers a multitude of sins. And then he's talking to us that our love will cover a multitude of sins. How much more will the Lord do for you? Well, he's already done it. He's already died on the cross for you. Do you want to take credit by showing how good you are? Hey, don't do that, because you know why? You'll fall. The minute you elevate yourself to any kind of a conditional love, well, God loves me because this, because I'm such a good saint. I am a saint. I'm so sick of this kind of talk. Some of the meanest people I know are the legalists. Striving, hard-hitting, I don't do this, I don't smoke, I am a moral majority freak, I am all... Who says you're moral? God says we're all liars. He didn't say part of us. He didn't say the Methodist group, Lutheran group, Disciples Ministry, Catholics. It says all men are liars. God is the only one that's true. You are all we are all liars standing next to God. Of course we're liars. Let all men be liars. Let God be true. So there's a lot of liars running around flapping their jaws. Say amen, somebody. Don't get into worrying. Don't get into fretting. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Maybe you're worried about it and you're on the radio. Well, you can have them. It takes 30 seconds to receive the Lord. You don't have to go into purgatory. You don't have to wait on cloud 9. You don't have somebody wave a wand over you. There's none of those things. There's two young people back here. Are you both born again? Are you born again? Where do you come from? Big Lake? That's way up by St. Cloud, isn't it? Oh, what are you doing down here? Just come to church, huh? Oh, praise God. I mean, we can't get them from Minneapolis to come down here, and you came from Big Lake. You know why people don't come down here? They're afraid somebody will steal their hubcaps. Ain't that a fright? Even the buses don't come down here. They turn over there on Golden Valley Road. Isn't that a fright? Pretty sad, isn't it? They won't come down this way. They'll come up this way, but they won't come down this way. That's a fright, ain't it? I'm glad you came from Big Lake, because it sounds to me, it looks to me like you both got big hearts. Do you get the radio program up there? You don't get it? How'd you know about our ministry here? Oh, I ministered up in that area, didn't I? Yeah? Yeah, I used to go to St. Cloud. See, I had a run of 120 miles for about 4 years. I went through all them charismatic groups, that Catholics and the Lutherans and all that, and I'd go down in the basements and minister down there next to the broom closets. But I did get in there, and I did minister to a lot of them. I was ministering 6, 7, and 8 times a week before I came into here. Now I'm going all the time down here, you know, but there's so much to do down here in the mission, I can't even venture out of here. And, you know, you have to have somebody with authority down in a mission like this too, see? And so on like that. So that's why I never get out anymore. So you'll just have to come see me. Tell your friends if there's any of them up there, they can come down here and see us. Okay? Just come on. And they can tune in to KUXL also, which is 1570 on AM dial at 1:30 to 2, and keep their cards and letter coming. We do need support. Thank you very much. Amen. God just bless all these wonderful people that are here today. Thank you for the radio audience. Radio audience, I hope that we have moved you with a message on Friday night of doing nothing, which we all are guilty of at times. And also the message on worry, which we should none of us do to excess. In Jesus' name, amen.
There you have it. That's the conclusion to episode 292. That is part 2, to worry. If you missed part 1, or if you missed any of Pastor Paul's podcast, from 1 to 292, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you will find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. Be sure to check those out. I want to thank both of you listeners out there. Thank you for joining us for the last, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Is that 6 years of Pastor Paul's podcasts? Moving forward to the next 19 and a half. Have a great week, and we will see you back here for episode 293, part 1 of Facts or False. God bless you.
May be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Spiritual
pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.